Hi, this is Guillaume Latendres, and you're listening to the Sand Scallops.
Studio 65 on the Sens Underground Network. Welcome to episode number 9 of the Sens Call-Ups for Saturday, January 26, 2013. I'm Cardinal, and I'm here with Canuck and Pan. The NHL is back in full swing. We have our first real episode of games to talk about, so we're not really sure how this is going to go. Guys, first, Canuck, welcome back.
Thank you.
To the Great White North.
I've gone from, let's say, about 22 degrees in the sun this morning to... Mine's 10 or 11. Not bad.
I was out earlier today, and it actually felt like it was mild after the weather we've had this week.
I heard it was brutal here.
It was entertaining. Van, you still with us?
Yep. I just grew a winter beard to double up as a scarf.
Yeah. I think a lot of people were doing that. Some of the women were doing that this week, which wasn't a strong look, but...
Oh, dear. Those are the ones from Cornwall.
Okay, I wasn't going to be specific like that, but all right. Well, we actually have games to talk about. This is going to be a first for us. We haven't had a full episode where we've had real games to talk about, so let's get at it. Game number 2 of this young season would be Ottawa at the Panthers.
Yep.
Go
all
for
right,
it.
Here we go. Game on!
Oh, I don't have my finger on the button here.
There we go.
All right, Canuck, I guess you're just back from vacation, so I'll give you that one.
Yeah, my fingers are cold.
I screwed him up. I said Senators at Panthers when it was actually Panthers at Senators, so it's okay. I started the whole mess.
All right, so here we go. So Panthers at Sens and Ottawa's home opener. Andy in, Leonard in the bench, Bishop out, Borkop out, K-Dog out. In the introduction, that's one thing that I noticed. How many trainers does this team have? They had like 12 guys out there in the little gray coats. It was a little bit ridiculous. It was one guy for every two. I don't know. Anyway, so Carlson, for one thing that I saw, he really started off buzzing around, especially in the offensive zone. So he looked like he was going to have a great game. Alfie passes it through the blue line to Turris. Mueller in his 80s style haircut holds him up, and the boards gets 2 minutes for tripping. Shortly after the penalty kill, Florida comes down the rush. Neil gets caught up taking a really bad hooking penalty there. I don't know what he was doing. I know he got caught up, but just kind of can opener the guy sideways. It was really, really weird. Florida also gets another penalty, so it's 2 minutes for delay of game. On that power play, I believe, Wirkoch skates around on the side perimeter, so goes up to the middle, finds Turris up in the corner for a rocket one-timer to the back of the net. So those two really seem to be bosom buddies. I know that the Ottawa media has been playing that quite a bit, and maybe a little bit too much, but that's worked out. Turris really looked good in the first, especially, so he's got 2 goals in 2 games at this point. Wirkoch and Benoit playing together, people were worried about that, and really hasn't noticed any lapses or gaps there either.
Oh, they look great together.
Yeah, they're playing naturally together. You don't notice them at all. I love it.
And I really think it comes down to summer, because those two stayed up in Ottawa and worked on their conditioning for a long time, up till the lockout when they weren't allowed to anymore. So I think Turris probably put on a lot of strength, which is why we're seeing much better shots from him now. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Spezza, he's got a sloppy play again. Back passes to no one. Benoit moves real fast too. Shots at the end of the first were 18-4 for the Sens. So they were really all over them. Theodore was standing on his head. Second period comes by, tons more rushing opportunities. Etherby gives Smith a shoulder to the head. Neil comes in to defend him, but Smith takes him on his own. And takes him out pretty hard, too. He drew an extra 2 minutes for roughing on that one, but, well, whatever. I guess the refs are trying to tighten things up this year, too, but that just seemed a little bit different here. Guy breaks into the zone. Tourist flies in, tips a beautiful stretch pass, hard right past Theodore. The pace slows down there, and the Panthers end the period in a rush with a big play by Phillips on the defensive zone just with the last couple of seconds left in the period. Third period starts off, and there's another bad pass by Spezza. Mathot shoulders Kovalev, but not hard enough, in my opinion. Really want him to crunch this guy. then Mathot with a huge hip check. But even with that, that got called for a penalty, which was really disappointing there. They called it interference. It looked like the guy went for the puck or bailed on it right before Mathot hit him. I know Canuck, I think you took a screenshot of that. Was that you that took that screenshot and tweeted it? Or
yeah, and I don't know what's going on with all these interference penalties. And I know we're going to talk about them more when we get to the game in Tampa, but I thought the rule was changed that you're allowed to have contact up to a half a second after the person gets rid of the puck. And time after time, the person's going after the puck carrier and they're getting interference penalties. And I'm really not sure what they're trying to do. And that was a good example. Now, maybe at full speed, that hit looked like a clip, and that's what they're trying to call.
But then
call it clipping or whatever, you know?
I think whoever he hit bailed on the puck. And because of that, it caused an interference. Like, I don't know if he wimped out of it or he just wanted to brace himself for the hit, which ended up him not touching the puck at all, which would be interference, but you'd think that based on what the play was going down to.
So you get rid of the puck because you're about to be hit up against the board and you draw an interference penalty?
He's either going to receive the pass or go for the loose puck with the that Mathot had.
I thought he was the puck carrier. I don't know. This is going to start sounding like the NFL. We're going to have like intentional grounding rules, like intentional puck dropping rules because you're trying to get an interference penalty. I don't know. Something's up here.
Yeah, it's almost like the players who almost look like they turn their back deliberately to get a checking from behind.
Yeah.
Call across along the boards. Yeah. There's some weird stuff going on. I'm hoping they can get it sorted out because that one was a weird one. That whole situation just looked a little peculiar.
And for such a great hit.
Well, everybody on their feet, it looked like.
Yep. Yep. That almost kind of reminded me of like a World Junior hit, like, you know, where he just gets a really clean hit and clocks a guy. But they always call a penalty on it just because the other guy gets hurt. I don't know. Anyway, so it's 2 minutes for Mathot, and I've got to come up with a name for this guy. That was a great, great, great play. And I don't think anyone was disappointed by even him taking a penalty because of that hit.
No.
Anyways, yeah, that penalty kill starts off. Now Carlson beats the rush in and goes in on a breakaway. Theo just completes an incredible save on him. A couple of questions here is, what's Carlson doing on the rush on the penalty kill? This is all new.
Yeah, I thought he was a defensive liability with no penalty.
And he's going to be terrible. Yeah, he's going to be terrible because he's not playing with Kuba anymore.
Yeah.
Yep.
So. Eat that, Healy.
Out there. I don't want to get blocked by anybody else right now. So.
Blocked by Healy.
So Alfie and Benoit 2-on-1, an absolute snag on by Theodore again. But at this point, I think the Panthers really started getting tired it out. Floodgates open as O'Brien comes down the side, gets himself a goal quickly, and followed by, and you guys ready for this reveal?
Hit me with it.
Oh, ah! Silverberg gets his first goal with Great. Finally, someone picks up one of those back passes that Spezza drops. Snap. Beautiful play there.
Well, it's because he dropped it to a senator, not to an opposing team member.
Yeah. It's, maybe that's what Spezza's been kind of working on. It's like, listen, guys, be where I want you to be, and I'll get you the puck.
I'll say this about Spezza. He, especially behind the net, he is getting the puck to his teammates. It's incredible how he gets them, to the point where the teammates are almost surprised when it gets to them.
It just rockets out.
Yeah. He's becoming that playmaker behind the net. Like, I think that seems to be a good spot for him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Ew. Oh, hey, get this. Jumping ahead a little bit in thoughts, but as some of you might be following us on Twitter may know, I was at the game in Tampa Bay, which we're going to recap a little bit later. But I overheard some people next to me talking about Vinny LeCavier, and they're complaining, man, he keeps doing that drop pass over and over, just turns it over. So that made me laugh. It seems to be a common thing of your home team, and you're cheering against, or you're cheering for your big superstar, and we hear this about Crosby doing it, and now LeCavalier. So maybe we need to let up on Spezza a bit here. I don't know.
I'm not nearly as hard on him about it, at least so far in this young season, or even last season, as the season before that. He's certainly improved on the number of bad ones that he does. It's not. I mean, if we're complaining about it, it's now the exception to the rule. It isn't the rule.
Yeah.
We're not doing it constantly, so I'm all right. Sorry, Ben. We interrupted the end of your summary there.
I mean, that's pretty much it for the game now.
We won.
Exactly. So without Theodore, that game could have been 8-0 or 10-0.
Yeah.
Yeah, Florida really needs Luongo, don't they? Like, they have a goaltending problem. They should get Luongo. Like, come on. Like, Theodore is standing on his head, and it's crazy.
Well, maybe they'll make a three-way trade and send Theodore to Toronto. Who knows? Maybe that's the deal that they're trying to work on.
Ugh.
Give me a break. Like, I care.
He's going to get bought out in the summer because you're not going to be able to move him.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I think that's with two games in a row now. Anderson kind of shuts people up in regards to having any type of goaltending controversy, at least for the number one job. He's the guy. Now, also, we know who Mark Methot is and what he brings. And I absolutely love him.
Oh, yeah. So,
can you just imagine him on one pairing, Count on the second, and then Borokop on the third?
Yike. Opposing forwards, beware. It doesn't matter which defense pairing is on the ice.
Yeah.
Have we got a nickname for Methot yet?
Can't think of it.
I haven't heard one so far, and I haven't come up with one myself. So
9mm for, you know, Mach 9, Malay McCulloch.
3mm?
Yeah. Doesn't work quite right.
Sounds like a tape dispenser.
3M.
The glue that keeps everything together. That's a little bit of a stretch. Figure it out. Or make it into another one of your contests. I don't know. couple other notes here. Power play for Ottawa is 1-for-4. Florida, I've got only, is 0-for-3. Yeah, apparently that's right. So a much more disciplined game versus the first game. So that's, yeah, 3 penalties, and I do challenge him with thought penalty there. Turris has 2 goals, 3 shots. Guy and Alfie each had 4 shots. EK, 4 shots. 26 minutes, 54 seconds of ice time, too. That, he's one that I'm tracking a little bit more. So Anderson with 31 saves for the shutout there. So apparently something else had happened, because that was the last day of the sale at the Sens store. After the game, the Methot jerseys were flying out the door. So good for him. I really like having local guys here.
Yeah.
So, and I think he's quickly going to become a fan favorite, even though Nick Foligno was what he was. That was a great hockey trade.
So that's great. What I thought. Yeah. Now, I heard I was watching the game through Game Center from, I was still in Florida. I didn't really hear the Alfie chants at 11-11 until around the third period. Now, mind you, the first period I forgot until after the time passed, but I think following on Twitter, I saw people making the same comment. They didn't hear it, and I think I heard the second period was a little bit. So maybe it's just picking back up, but good to hear that's still being tried.
Yeah. I hope so. It's been 7 or 8 months.
Yeah.
I'll give you two periods, but when I go tomorrow.
Were you at that game, Pan?
No.
Okay.
No, I haven't gone yet. Actually, you know what? With work, because we've got a corporate box, and a couple weeks ago, I got called into the VP's office, and I was like, he's got something for us. Like, sweet, okay. Go over, open up, or get an envelope from his assistant. So I'm just going to leave that office, go back to mine. See two tickets in there, and I was just like, oh, sweet. I got the box. Awesome. I open up the envelope, see London Knights versus 67s.
Bit of a letdown.
Yeah, totally. And the day after, I think London beat them 10-5, and the game that I went to ended up being 11-1 for London. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, that was a bad game.
Now, speaking of corporate tickets and employees going, now how about that Mike Watson, Paul McLean lookalike sitting in the front row right behind the Senators bench? That was hilarious.
That was hilarious. And the fact that CNN was talking about that, they weren't talking about the hockey game. I don't think they actually mentioned the score.
CNN got it?
Yeah, CNN. It was CNN.
PTI got in there too. It was
just ridiculous.
I think it's kind of fun, and we've got our own little doppelganger here too.
But just the fact that he wore the suit and the tie and everything and went to the game.
Yeah.
Well, he was at the Big Rig a couple of days ago for lunch because they were tweeting about it. You know, we have a special guest, and it turned out to be that guy.
Oh, geez.
See, that's kind of funny too, because last year one of my buddies out in Canada was like, I think I just saw Paul McLean at the deli at Sobeys. It's like, it's game day. He's not buying deli meat.
Hey, whatever motivational tactics work.
Yeah. Actually, with that, because Canuck, right after that game, because we're trying to get you down, and you've got your Anderson jersey, and we all know how familiar you're similar to you look to him. Do you want to share that story from the open or the what was it, the fan signing thing?
Yeah, well, I can share the story, but I think it was better probably shared from the guys behind me. We were walking up behind, or we were walking upstairs after getting some autographs, and I didn't feel the tap of my leg until almost up the stairs. But I don't know, maybe Cardinal, I think you were behind me, maybe saw the story develop a little better there.
Well, you were wearing your Anderson jersey as well.
Yes.
Which certainly didn't hurt. And we were walking up a staircase, and this little boy came ripping up the middle of the stairs, and he couldn't have been more than 5, and was tugging on your pant leg, and then with a pen in one hand and sort of like a pennant in the other, and he was asking for your autograph. And he was really insistent until we said, it's not him. And it was funny because he just immediately turned around and zipped away while the parents were sort of looking, going, wait a minute, what just happened here? And looked up and saw you kind of going around the corner, and they went, oh, now I understand why he took off. We were still sitting there going, no, it's not Craig Anderson. It looks like him, but it wasn't him.
I still think you should have signed his thing.
But it was very sweet because the little boy was absolutely sure that you were him. Absolutely sure. It was very sweet.
When we were down on the ice level where they had the mostly set up with games and bouncing castles and stuff like that, which was great, by the way. I never bounced so high. one adult came up and tapped me from behind and said, you're going to get a lot of autograph requests if you stand there. So it was noticed.
Really? Oh, I missed that one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I saw classic.
That's pretty good.
And then we met another group walking through the hallway. And I think we were with Chris, and he was introducing us and getting the blank stares looking at me. So I just introduced myself as Craig Anderson. And they kind of knew it wasn't quite – something was quite off there, but kind of chuckle.
Classic. Hey, if you got it, why not? Why not?
I should have handed out programs or something.
Should have had a Sharpie so you could start signing people's stuff.
Just yeah.
Let them, don't let them figure out you're not him.
Just pull up an empty table, sit down, and see what happens.
Okay. Game three, which would be the first game down in Florida, the Senators at the Panthers. It was the same lineup as the home opener, so the scratches were Borowiecki and Kaspar Zdogovins, and Bishop was backing up. Anderson was in net. Same lineup. I mean, it worked in the game, the home opener here, so no reason not to go with the same lineup down there. The Senators started off really strong in that game. They were just gangbusters all over Florida in their end. And Theodore made a beautiful double stack save on Greening after a really nifty little play from Neil to get him right to the front of the net. He was in the front of the net about three times in the whole game, you know, point blank range, and Theodore stopped him all three times. He was just playing so, so well. Gonchar took a penalty, and Fleischmann scored on the Panthers' third shot of the game about 8 seconds into that power play. And when the cameras, when the camera panned around the arena, number one, there were a lot of empty seats for something that had an announced attendance of 14,000. But I could swear I saw a Jets jersey when the camera panned around.
And I wouldn't surprise me.
And I mean, I'm not trying to be nasty, but a Jets jersey at a Senators Panthers game, that's borderline in Florida, no less. Like, that's borderline spot the idiot. Not quite, but it's getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Senators got a 5-on-3 later on in the first period. There was a ton of puck movement, but it all seemed to be going around the perimeter. There wasn't a lot of traffic in front of the net. Ended up being a 5-on-4 when just an absolute rocket shot from Phillips on the point, and it's in the net. So the big rig scores, and at that point, he had more goals than Spezza and Alfredsson combined for the season because he had won. And by the way, the Senators' record when Phillips scores in a game is ridiculous. I have it noted. I have to look it up, but it's just ridiculous if he scores what the odds are of us winning that game. At the intermission, I have to say, watching it, I'm not a really big fan of the panels that are on Sportsnet. I find them a little weak compared to the talent level that are on TSN or even on Hockey Night in Canada. But I may not like Nick Kyprios a whole lot. I just don't really like his takes very much. But he's not a Sens hater. So he's not Healy. So he's got that going for him, at least.
Excuse me? He's not a Sens hater?
He's not as much of a Sens hater.
My,
I thought he was being pretty fair, actually, I thought.
You know, I don't mean this in any sort of grudge sounding at all, but one of my first impressions of Nick Kyprios was back in 2007, our Stanley Cup run. It's before game one. You know, they have the outdoor panel kind of out in front of the Anaheim Stadium. And they're going around, and the panel question was, is this a successful year? Of course, every Sens fan, this is before game one of the Stanley Cup Finals. Well, yes, absolutely. And he was the one guy that was like, no, absolutely not. You come here to win this cup. You don't win it. It's a not successful year. And just the way he was saying it, it was just so leafish sounding. And ever since then, I've always heard that sneer in his voice. And maybe I can't shake that memory of him when I hear him talk now, but I didn't hear him this year. I just tune him out now.
Well, I was just listening to what he was saying, especially between the first and second periods of this particular game. I couldn't hear him during the first period or the first game of the season, but I just didn't find he was nearly as negative. He was, you know, pretty moderate. So that's why I thought he was less objectionable.
Was the
maybe not better?
Was this show this game being broadcast in the Toronto region? Maybe he was turned off his homerism.
I don't know. Maybe not. That's a good point. I have no idea. But the shots were 16-7 for this period. So the Senators were really carrying the game in that period. In the second, Greening gets another chance early in the period, point blank. Theodore stoned him again. But Anderson started getting busier because the Panthers really started to turn it on in the second period, and Anderson was looking really sharp. Mathot took a penalty, and during the penalty kill, Craig Anderson had an absolutely amazing save on Huberdeau from in pretty close. Just flash the glove. He makes it look easy. He looks really calm, but just razor sharp.
Boy, does he ever look rusty.
Yeah, that's right.
We all called him having a slow start, and it seemed like the media was all over him. You know, he hasn't been playing. Some people even suggesting he hasn't been working out, which was malarkey, apparently. But
he was working out in Florida. It's
yeah,
not here.
You know, he's been rock solid, holding the team together.
Yeah, and he played it, like, starting in the second period, but especially into the third period of this game, he was on, just one after the other, and they were some spectacular saves. But he looked calm through the whole thing. He wasn't panicking and floundering around, and he was working hard and making some great saves. Look, kind of easy, not really easy, but kind of easy.
His stock is rising, as Don Brennan says. We better train him fast, right?
Oh yeah, well, let's just not even get into that at the moment. I'm getting tired of a couple of the takes like that one around the city at the moment. There was a sloppy clearing pass that Carlson intercepted just at the blue line, but he had to wait for Mathot to clear the zone. And in an interview, as soon as Mathot raced for the line and Carlson just took off, and Kovalev, who was trying to cover him, just couldn't possibly accelerate fast enough to catch him, to try and check him. And he walked in and just picked the top corner over Theodore's shoulder. It was just a beautiful, beautiful goal with just a quick shot.
That was one hell of a play.
Think about it. What are Carlson and Mathot both doing in the offensive zone like that? And they were the first two in.
Yeah, they were the last two to clear the zone.
Yeah.
But it was funny with an interview with Mark Mathot after that. I'm not sure it was after the period or after the game. He was saying, well, I was getting out of the zone and suddenly I realized Carlson had the puck and he was going to do something special. So I just, you know, went as hard as I could to get out of the zone. And for a big guy, he skates pretty fast. He's not a pylon. He's pretty quick.
Yep.
But Carlson just accelerated from 0 to 1,000 and picked that corner, and it was just a thing of beauty.
Like, to be able to wait for your partner to get back online where he was deep into the face-off circle, still contain the puck, wait for that, and then be able to accelerate and beat everybody else from the defensive team. That was one hell of a play.
Spectacular. Absolutely spectacular.
Breaking news, guys. Rangers beat the Leafs 5-2.
Sweet. Oh, that's lovely news. I love it. Okay, so, well, we'll trash the blue team later, but that's good news. That's very good news. Not long after this, Anderson made a very awkward play behind the net and coughed the puck up, but just robbed Kovalev. Absolutely robbed him with a spectacular save. To the point where Kovalev was doing the sort of tilt your head back and look at the sky going, I can't believe I didn't get that.
I always get that in practice.
And there was another nice play late in the period, which was... Phillips made a beautiful block to save a shot from going in the net when there had already been a great save by Anderson, but he was not quite in position. Phillips made a beautiful sliding block just at the very, very end of the period. It was fantastic. Smith was right out in front of the net, just all by himself, 3 feet out, shot it right over the net. Oops. I kind of feel sorry for a guy in a position like that because he had a great opportunity and just lifted it about 3 or 4 feet too high.
Misses high
again. And Turris had a chance on a wraparound, but Theodore kept the puck out on that one as well. Again, he was playing really sharp. The shots in the period, the Panthers were 13 and Senators were 9. The Panthers were really coming on. There was a power play early in the third period that for the Senators that was negated 8 seconds into it by Carlson getting a penalty for closing his hand on the puck, but correct me if I'm wrong, he was skating at the time. He wasn't lying on the ice. And he kind of just moved it. I thought he just sort of batted at it rather than closing his hand on it. It was one of those...
I missed most of this game.
Okay.
Like, did he kind of grab it and then drop it to his stick, or did he swat at it?
I thought, more the sort of swat in one continuous motion to get it down to his stick. I didn't really see him close his hand on it, but maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention. I don't know.
It was a weak call.
Well, I don't think it was a weak call. I think that's what the rule is.
Yeah, it was weird. The Greening-Smith-Neal line was really strong, especially in the third period. They've been strong ever since the beginning of the season, but they looked really good in the third period. And Eric Condra, I thought, was being a bit of a thorn in the side of the opposition, just making it difficult to play when he was on the ice. Latondres got was on a semi breakaway and got hauled down, got a penalty shot, and kind of looked like he was taking a penalty shot in slow motion. It was the slowest penalty shot or shootout shot I've ever seen. He just sort of lumbered in and just didn't get a shot off at all.
It was more of a penalty glide.
Exactly. Exactly. That was not terribly brilliant. And then a little while later, Silverberg hit the post and the puck was sitting on the ice behind Theodore, but it was cleared away and went straight down the ice. And Anderson made a brilliant save about 10 seconds later on a rush going the other way. Just a flash of the leather and boom, great glove save. Just at the end of the game, Spezza got an empty net goal. And that's the game. The Senators record when Phillips scores in a game is now 47-11-4. So we need him to score more often.
I'm surprised he's gotten 62 career goals.
I just thought that was amazing. What an astonishing stat.
And at this point, the Sens have not let in a full strength goal.
That's right.
Anderson has not let in a full strength goal.
And his goals against is 0.67. And yeah, no regular strength goals at all. So again, very, very strong game against the Panthers.
So like you're saying, how you led this off, you're saying, stick with the same lineup. When you have a winning lineup, why change it? So what was the next game?
Next game.
All right. Sends that bolts. Let's put it all into a blender.
I was there.
You were there. Actually, yeah, let's start with that before we get into the game recap. I know it was Vinny's 1,000th game, so that's one thing. And they also had that giant screen that looked like the box that my TV came in.
Yeah, they looked like the one in...
that was weird.
They looked like the one in Texas Stadium. Cowboy Stadium, sorry.
So I'll set up the atmosphere there. My first time in Tampa ever, and certainly my first time at the Tampa Bay Times Forum. All in all, I'd say a really good experience. Now, I have been to the Florida Panthers Stadium. I apologize, I forget the name of it right now, but the one down in Sunrise.
They do too.
Yeah,
they do too.
So that was about 4 years ago. It was a Montreal at Florida game. And, that definitely had, a lot of Habs fan at it. It was, you really felt like this didn't belong, but you still enjoyed it. It was still good. But Tampa? No, I saw a lot of Blue Bolt shirts, and it felt a lot less contrived. It felt like a real atmosphere that you didn't feel embarrassed in. I would liken it, there was a little bit of the... you could tell the fan base was a little different, but there's definitely a lot of Snowbirds. I did see a lot of Sens jerseys. You mentioned Spot the Idiot. I did not see any Leaf jerseys. I was looking, but it's pretty tough in that crowd when they're wearing blue and white. But I did see like a Pittsburgh jersey, a Detroit jersey, and that kind of stuff. And I think I even did see a Winnipeg jersey, so that same idiot came up. I don't know. It's maybe a little weird, but... I did see other team jerseys there, just a few. There's a good little sprinkling of Sens fans there. I certainly did my part in wearing the jerseys and cheering and standing up and looking like an idiot and that kind of stuff. So that was all good. Nice stadium, nice atmosphere. We mentioned this, the high-definition screen. That thing goes from, I'd say, the blue line, one blue line to the other.
Yeah, that's what they're seeing on TV.
It was huge. My seats were quite low, about 10 rows back, 100 level, and about the face-off circle, let's say. And I was on the side where Ottawa's bench was. So, the far corner, close corner, was really tough to see anything. So I found myself looking up at that anytime the puck was in that corner. And it was just very, very well defined high-definition screen, so it was quite good. The atmosphere itself was pretty pretty neat. Just to describe some of the things they do differently, they have picture in your mind kind of the 300 or 400 level on one end of the ice behind the net, they have a big section that says Tampa Bay Lightning, and a guy on an organ, kind of set inside. It looks like a baby grand, and he's the organ guy, and they do a lot of organ-based stuff. Not the cheesy Hammond sound that you get kind of in the Boston arena, but more of a classic organ. They have the whole theme, you know, like because of the Lightning, like, be the Thunder. And at first, it did come across a little cheesy, you know, everybody be the Thunder. But the more and more I thought about it, it is a pretty clever name for a team and a response, you know, like Lightning and Thunder. And of course, you know, when they're coming out on the ice, you get the whole, Thunderstruck song happening. And I think I got it. Yeah, you get this going. The big difference, you know, Sen's going to have the Via Train horn. But there they have an actual Tesla coil mounted in the ceiling. So when they score at the beginning of a period, along with the goal horn, you actually hear the kind of the high-pitched kind of needling Tesla coil firing. So that was pretty cool. Nice little theme. Loud. It was a lot of fun. I'm not sure what to say with that.
Cool.
Now, one thing I noticed with the screen, too, though, is like, if you're sitting on the sides, you've got the big side there.
Yeah.
But if you're behind the goalie, it looked just like a little sliver of a screen.
It wasn't quite as slivery as the picture showed, but it was okay. Definitely about a third of the length, right? So it's definitely a long and narrow thing.
So did they get kind of ripped off then?
It's still light years beyond what the Senators had last year.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, they're just catering to the expensive seats, that's all. People in the ends don't matter as much.
Gotcha. All right. So, guess game recap here. So, yeah, everything's in the blender. So, Bishop in, Andy out, Canuck in the stands. K-Dog's in, Borokop in. The one that kind of surprised me is they pulled Weirkoch out, not Benoit. Granted, the team's been happy with Benoit also. I just think Weirkoch was playing well, especially offensively. I don't know if they're looking for more of a shutdown guy, but whatever that is.
I think that's just a case where they just, hey, we just need to get the other guys playing, and, you know.
I was wondering whether it was they wanted to keep the more veteran guy on the ice and switch the really young guy for another really young guy.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Benoit's played in different leagues, too. And he's,
yep.
So like, what, 27?
28, I think, yeah.
Okay. So, and whatever, it's one game anyways. And Willie Tender's out with a little bit of a minor injury there. One thing I didn't like, but they tried it, and I think they changed it quite quickly. Zach Smith up on the second line. So not only that, because with Letendresse out, that changes the second line, but they also change up that third line energy line, which was firing quite well. Myself, I was a little bit surprised that they didn't put Regan on the second line. I think he'd fit in a little bit better there.
I know that Coach McLean was saying that he wasn't happy with Regan playing left wing on the fourth line, so that might be why he didn't want to move him up to the second. I don't know. They could have put Dogovins on the second line, on left wing.
I don't think so. Dogovins is going to do very well in that.
But it would keep all the other lines intact.
I guess I want to say move Greening, but that's the same thing.
Yeah.
But now that we're in the fourth game of the season, surely the refs have settled down and getting some good, consistent calls in this game, right?
Well, 35 seconds in. Granted, it was more of a marginal hook, but defensive panicking there. So 9-mil goes off. Matt Carl pots it in high on a scramble there. One thing I noticed on that goal is complete defensive breakdown. No support on the goalie at all either. The guys were playing way too out. Mathot was out, not covering anyone, and I think it was his cover that ended up scoring. After that, Regan gets 2 minutes for delay of game. Phillips gets an interference. Carlson gets an interference.
And those interferences, they show the replays, and in each time they're going after the puck carrier. He got rid of the puck, and it was less than a half a second, and they bumped into him, and they called interference penalties. I don't know. I'm watching this live in one replay, and sure, I'm a Sens fan, but it came up later in the third period that it would Tampa got a penalty and they took out the puck carrier and they got a penalty. What's going on with these interference penalties? I don't get it.
I don't know. And the fact that Carlson knocks a guy over. It's just like me trying to take one of you guys out. It's not going to happen.
Well, they weren't saying that there, but I was certainly thinking it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Neil and Cromdom dropped the gloves. It was a long but yet uneventful fight, in my opinion. Word that I could use to really describe this period, though, is muggy. It didn't seem that there was any flow, especially for Ottawa. They were just...
Well, I spent 7 minutes in the box.
That's true, too. But, so Tampa Bay had 15 shots. Sens somehow had 7 there.
Yeah, Bishop looked rusty. Now, hey... First game, but even the first goal, I as soon as I saw it, like he had the puck and it just dropped out of him. And there's several other goals that you're probably going to recap here that just like he had it and he dropped it and they went in. And it's too bad. But man, I missed Anderson this game.
Yeah, just the puck rebound control. Totally.
Exactly.
Couldn't glove it. Actually, he was having that problems last year, too. Anyways, second period looked a little bit better.
Did for me.
More control there. Gonchar. Gabrielle's going to hate this, but Gonchar with a takeaway from Stamkos. Puts it up to Neil on the boards with a hard pass to the breaking Condra, who stays on his feet for once and goes five hole.
Nice.
That was a great play, just a back there. Purcell gets 2 minutes for holding on Neil. Then Neil gets another soft interference call. Lee then gets caught up on a pick play. Then Jezza, hard shot from Alfie on the sideboards with the goalie in. This is where the floodgates happen. Wham, Turris from to 9mm to EK at the point. Then Bishop rebound to Stamkos in the slot. So whack, 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 just tons of goals right there.
So with a weak defense and the best thing we could probably do is just probably sit on that 2-goal lead and probably relax a little, right?
Yeah, you'd think so because, well, that's Dogovin's play. Holds up for a second, just fakes at the goalie. Trist gets that goal. Hedman gets a laser right past Bishop right there. So in that time frame, there were 5 goals in 3 minutes and 40 seconds, and I thought my hands were going to fall off from writing down these notes.
Well, I thought I was doing a little, a child song, you know, where you sing a little line and one half stands up and the other person stands up. So, I mean, I'd be standing up and cheering and then sitting back down. Everybody else around me would be standing up and cheering. And then I'd be standing up and cheering. And it was getting a little weird, actually.
Yeah, that was a little bit nuts. I don't think Lindback looked very good either. So early in the third period, Salo's shot gets tipped by Dogovin's, then Malone, so I don't give Bishop any chance on that one. Neil gets a shot through on Lindback. Oh, that was a great one. It just stopped on the goal line.
Oh, yeah, that's so close.
Real close there, and that would have probably changed a little bit of the momentum there. Malone gets the redirection in from LeCavalier's stick. That takes the lead, and Piatt scores the empty net goal. Game's pretty much over at this point. So, a couple ending notes on this. So Bishop really wasn't strong. I think the defense was even worse. The line pairings, in my opinion, seemed a little bit weird, but you know what? Let the loss sit and let it burn for a bit. And the Sens
and then apply the cream.
I've never heard Anderson referred to as a cream before, but okay.
Oh, dear. Yeah, this is one team you don't want to go get into a shootout against, and that's exactly what I was thinking as the game was unfolding. Like, don't get in a shootout with these guys. Don't do it against Tampa. Don't do it against Pittsburgh. And sure enough, they decided, let's just have a run-and-gun game and see who gets the most goals. And, oh, well, it was close. I mean, it was a close game, but it was sloppy. It's funny that Tampa won, and I heard the coach saying afterwards on the radio, this is a real character win. It's like, Oh, come on. It was a defensive nightmare. I mean, if Ottawa won, are we going to say, oh, that's a real character win? It's like, no. It's like we're lucky to get some points.
Sloppy game. Two very tall and not so good goalies in this one.
Yeah. So that's what I've got for that game.
Well, overall impressions for the first three games so far? Oh, just now we've talked about them individually, just overall. I know we've already talked about Anderson being in full beast mode just after the first period of the first game. It took him about a period to settle down, and after that he just really seemed to settle into his own. I had to laugh. There was a quote from him in the post-game press conference after the opening game against Winnipeg, when somebody, one of the reporters, asked him about the two shots that went off. One went off the crossbar and one went off the post. And he apparently just looked them straight in the eye and went, well, I had my angles down perfectly on those.
They're going wide.
Exactly.
Yeah, at least he didn't pull a Barrasso on him.
I just thought that was such a cool, relaxed thing to say. Yeah, I had my angles down. It's okay. Everything's fine. Don't worry. I thought that Turris has been looking very strong. So much, yep. Not just physically, but mentally. Like, he's playing very, very intelligently.
Yeah.
As well as being, you know, he's obviously put on some muscle. He's fast, but he's also a presence out there. He's not this little tiny thing anymore. He's not huge, but he's got more strength to be playing the way that he is. As we said, talking about Wierkoš and Benoit, didn't really notice them. When they were playing, I didn't really notice them. And I think that's the best thing you can say about defensemen, is that you didn't notice them. Because normally you notice a defenseman, unless it's Carlson for a laser beam shot, you notice when they screwed up. But if they're doing their job.
You notice Wierkoš in the offensive zone.
Yeah, he's got good passing.
He's got skill. Yeah. And I've never seen a right defenseman have that type of chemistry with a centerman before.
Well, they've known each other since they were about 10, so right. It helps.
But yeah, you don't really build a team on a right D and a center. It's not a combination. It's textbook.
Oh no! But hey, if it's working,
take it. Oh, absolutely, take that.
Absolutely.
I think the team's been really exciting to watch, even in the loss. I mean, it's always disappointing when you lose. Even more disappointing when you take the time and money and go and watch them live. But it was a good game to watch. I mean, it was definitely entertained.
That's right.
I felt like they could come back at any point. In fact, they only lost it with a couple minutes ago, right? So,
yeah. And you had to get Bishop in at some point.
Yeah,
exactly. He's got to play. He's got to play at some point. So,
yeah. Manderson did used to play in Florida and has a really good record against them also, so you knew that he was going to get those with a back-to-back and then three games in four nights. That was a game to play him. I didn't really like the line combinations in that game, as I mentioned, but let's you take a look to see what you've got, what works well together and what doesn't, and you just kind of move on from there. One thing that's got me nervous, though, is in regards to the team's coming out flying, but the teams that we're playing with or playing against are, I would say, the third quartile teams.
Yeah.
Time's got to tell. Like
top talent yet.
Exactly. So
there's no easy games in this league. I know that's the first thing you're thinking. Okay, we're not playing the big names yet, but hey, we got Pittsburgh tomorrow.
Yeah.
The Leafs can beat them. So,
I don't know how they did that.
It just goes to show you that, you know, you stop worrying about the team you're playing. I mean, any team can win in this league. Like, I don't know.
Well, except Washington right now. But break out of that soon. Break out of that soon.
And we play them on Tuesday.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're a benevolent team, aren't we?
Exactly, because all the teams break their streaks against us.
I thought Alfie, I gotta admit, I see him out there, he looks a little slow. Now, he looks hockey smart, he looks like he's in the right place at the right time, and he looks like a leader, but he is definitely not in former self. He doesn't look like a liability, but he just doesn't have that jump he used to.
Yeah, from last year, I haven't noticed him at all, especially compared to last year.
He's going to be a playoff warrior if we can get to the playoffs.
Yeah, yep. I think he'll also start to come into it, because he even said during training camp that he was finding it, you know, because he hadn't been playing in so long. Even the scrimmages were not tiring, but you know, they're just not the routine that he's used to, and he's been out of that routine for so long that it's going to take him some time, possibly even a little bit more time than normal to get back into it. And since there was no time to get into it, it may take him a little while in the regular season to get into it. I think he'll be okay. He's not a rocket ship, but I think he'll be all right.
And go ahead, other teams, put all your time and energy on Turris or something, and leave Alfie open, because you're going to regret doing that.
Exactly. And we know from last year that he does play well with Turris, and if Turris is playing this well, then it will bode well for later in the season, when Alfie really does get going, to have he and Turris playing together. The one thing I wanted to ask you guys about, and there was even before last night's game in Tampa, I saw a number of sources, whether it was just people on Twitter or there was a couple of mentions in the media, about we really need to trade Bishop. You know, we really need to trade Bishop. We need to trade him. We need to trade him. And I just don't understand the thinking. Why do we want to trade our backup goalie? Well, that way Leonard can be our backup goalie. Leonard's playing every night in Binghamton. Why would we not want him to keep playing and keep developing? Why would we want him to sit on a bench? I don't understand the whole thinking about that. And then there were a couple of comments I saw about, well, we should trade Bishop for Runblad.
Did you see those two?
Well, that's borderline an art. That's almost a Russell. Are you kidding me? Yes. I honestly could not figure out what the thinking process on that was.
I mentioned it, but almost just kind of as a funny thing. I think I mentioned Turris for Runblad just to be, you know, funny.
caught crap on that one on Twitter. We absolutely got destroyed on. I stayed out of that one, but
it doesn't
make sense to me.
Like, go ahead.
Okay. So one, Mike Smith got hurt. He's day to day. Why are they going to pick up another goalie?
Exactly.
Why would you give up a defensive prospect for maybe a 4 or 5 game window? Third, why would Ottawa want another defensive prospect that's possibly in about the same area as Weirkosh is right now?
Well, that was the point I was making, because it was Runblad is tearing it up in the AHL. Well, he's got 23 points. Yeah, fair enough. And he's got an invitation to the AHL All-Star game. Yep, fair enough. Benoit has 25. He's had an invitation, but he's not going because he's playing in the NHL. Weirkosh has 19 points. He's got an invitation, but he's not going because he's playing in the NHL. Greiba, who has the best plus minus in the AHL, is filling in for those two, and he's plus 22. And we have Borowiecki. So I don't see Runblad being any better than those four names I just rhymed off.
I think it's just a case of the media has gone on and on about, well, Senators have young defense. That's going to be their liability. Maybe. They certainly lack some team defense, but I think they're not alone. And that's something you develop over a season. But so you combine that, this idea planted in our heads that, well, we need defense. And then you throw in the idea of we could get Runblad back. You know, he was a promising prospect here, and we trade him for Turris, and we're kind of like, ooh, I hope this works, you know, and it clearly has, but hey, a chance to get him back, and we can get rid of, you know, we know Bishop probably is not going to be around after this year. I think it's just a case of that. They're just throwing it out, but it's not so much that we need another defensive prospect, but just a kind of chance to get that back, right?
I suppose. Yeah. I just don't understand the thinking about why there's a sudden urgency to trade Ben Bishop. I just don't get it.
Well, he is a strong asset that the team's got. But another thing, like going back to Runblad, and Cardinal, you'll know this better, but wouldn't Runblad be very comparable to Cody Ceci?
A little further down the development. Yeah, a little further down the development, and I think, but similar, yeah.
Right, so you got Cece, who's 4 years younger?
That's right.
Stick with what you've got. You got to know the depth charts.
Well, there's also Klaassen down in Binghamton, who's a young Swedish defenseman who's developing as well. He's further out. He's not NHL ready, but he is developing.
Is he the one that played in the World Juniors?
Yes.
Okay, and he did really well too.
Yes, he did. Very well. So, again,
you, you need someone who's an experienced defenseman in the NHL for this year.
Yeah,
and
if we're going to
need really comes up. It's kind of hard to say when you're 3-1 with, besides the Tampa game, and that was with the backup goalie. With Anderson, what is this? You outscored the opponents 11-1.
Yeah, I don't know. I just laughed when I kept reading this whole question come up again and again. I think it was either Thursday evening or Friday, and I just shook my head at it, going, "This doesn't make any sense." But you know, it's just fans talking about hockey, and that's fine.
I think we're so used to having everything in a neatly wrapped package, and this idea that we had this kind of third goalie in the mix that we got to do something. Well, general managers don't work that way. It's like you found an extra buck in your wallet. Well, I got to get rid of it. No, you don't.
You don't have to spend it. Exactly.
If the right trade comes along, I bet Murray will make it, but he's not going to just make it for some unknown or some, you know,
it's too early in the season.
It's too early. Yeah,
exactly.
There's so much that could happen. I mean, one injury, you know, you get Anderson near his chicken again, and all of a sudden you're going to be regretting trading away Bishop. So, I don't know.
Yeah. And I agree with you also, Cardinal, there that this part of the season to have Leonard up here as a backup, that's a bad idea.
Makes no sense.
In a short season, you need someone that can deal with only playing 8 to 10 games, because that's all it's going to be.
Exactly. And
I don't know if maybe something like what I'm thinking of actually just now is maybe a team like New Jersey would be better to trade with. We'd have to maybe take Hedberg back for the rest of the year. That I'd be okay with. But Broder's not getting any younger. I don't think they've got much in regards to goaltending depth in their system.
Yeah, but if we lose Hedberg at the end of the season anyway, just like we'd be losing Bishop.
Leonard will be up next year.
Yeah, where's the net gain? There's no net gain.
No, you take something back with Hedberg as well.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. Anyway, just one of those things that I kind of laughed about when I saw it, and I wanted to see what you guys thought, because we seem to... We're all kind of thinking along the same lines, that it's just way too early. I mean, I realize it's the end of January, and normally, you know, in a normal season,
yeah,
this is when you'd be thinking exactly. This is when you'd be thinking this, but not this
When's
year.
When's trade deadline though? Like April?
Yeah, it's early April.
Yeah, we've got tons of time.
Exactly, exactly. Pan, you were guesting on another podcast recently. Give us a little summary of what that was. I have to admit, I only listened to part of it because I liked your takes, but some of the other stuff was a little hard to take, so I didn't listen to the whole thing. But tell us about it.
So, reach out with Brian Yates from Fan Versus Fan, and I think they call themselves NHL on the Ice, just like that. These guys are actually a really good source. I like them. We follow them on Twitter. There's Yates and Ames, and they just give us lots of information on all of these different levels of hockey, which they're great in regards to that. I don't know how they're connected to everything. It was fun. So I reached out, and just as everyone knows, Ottawa doesn't get much of a media following, and these guys look in regards to all different levels of hockey. So not only NHL, they look at the AHL, the junior, college, you're all over the place. So, yeah, just went on, talked to them for a couple of minutes and talk to them about the Sens and my takes in regards to what the year's going to be like and how the team's going.
And what were their thoughts since they're so so connected into all sorts of other areas of hockey? What were their thoughts on the Senators? Were they taking the normal, oh, well, they're going to be at the bottom, they're going to suck, last year was an aberration, they're going to be where we expect them to be last year, or were they a little more along where we are?
No, they really took an unbiased approach to it. We didn't really go into it an opinion like that. One of them was or is a Detroit fan, so he knows a lot about
John McClane.
Yeah. Go wash your mouth out with soap for that one.
Sorry, guys.
Knows a lot about Paul McClane.
So in regards to that, so definitely some common ground there in regards to the coaching and differences with Clouston. And this being a young team, they threw me a curveball in regards to if I really thought the Terps would turn out into a top three draft player. That I wasn't really sure on at the point because Terps didn't really go on the tear that he did before that. But no, he's really impressed me. Top three is one thing to say, but Jim O'Brien was also our first rounder that year. So it was a lean year that year too.
Yeah, that wasn't a great draft that year.
Yeah, which is why I think Turris did end up going third. But no, they actually had some good takes. I didn't like how they were pronouncing Leonard.
How were they saying it?
Yeah, was it Lennar?
Oi.
Not familiar with him at all, so I quickly corrected that one. But no, yeah, it was
understandable.
Yeah, it was fun. They're really good. They're very well connected. And I find their Twitter fantastic.
Yeah, I've been watching their Twitter feed. They certainly have they seem to tap into an awful lot of info, and they certainly seem to know what they're talking about a lot of the time. I was impressed with some of the stuff they were talking about in junior as well.
Yep.
Now, if anybody wants to catch this podcast, where can they listen?
It's a Fan versus Fan network.
Okay.
And I've got Ames here. His Twitter handle is at NHL on the Ice Ames. And then you can find the two of them there. Cool. These are Americans too, so it's very interesting to see guys like this.
We mentioned earlier that the Leafs had lost 5-2 to the Rangers tonight, which I thought was good news. But I don't know if you guys caught this. The game against the Islanders the other day, where the Leafs lost, their own fans, they're not throwing Eggo waffles this year, fortunately. But they were chanting, "Let's go Blue Jays," in their own building. Like, that's worse than booing your own team when you're cheering a different sports franchise in the same city. That's a whole new level of pathetic, don't you think?
Yet they sell out every game.
Yeah, but those are all corporate tickets. It's not like the average Joe is getting those. Well, they're getting them if they can manage to get corporate tickets from somebody else, but they don't have the walk-up crowds like, Ottawa has a huge walk-up crowd pretty much every game.
It's all walk-up crowd.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're sold out, so.
They're confused sold out, so media matter. There. At the beginning of the season, it was all about Kadri not passing a physical test or not being quite where they want, and now Kadri is the savior of the world there.
Oh, yeah, he's the next coming until he goes dry for three games, and then they're going to say, okay, it's time to send him down and bring somebody else back up.
Like, they flip and flop more than the underground guys did.
Oh,
jeez.
Oh, no, that was good. That was good. You really are looking to get Russell's title of Cheese Master. I really think so. That was good, though. I like that one. I just thought that was pathetic. Funny, but pathetic. Some of the rules that have been called in games in the last little while have been a little strange. I mean, we mentioned the hand on the hand puck, but it wasn't like hand on the ice on the puck. It was just hand closed on it, some peculiar rule like that. There was a really weird one the other day. I think it was one of the Edmonton games. I'm not sure anymore, which was the two players were waved out of the faceoff circle and they got a bench minor for delay of game.
Yep.
I have never in my life heard of this game. Yeah, it's
last
a rule.
Last time that I saw that was Todd White got the penalty. That's how long ago it
Who
was.
Gets the penalty? Sorry? Both of them?
Bench.
No. No, it's the second faceoff man that's got to serve it.
Oh, is it? Oh, I thought it was a bench minor. Okay.
So if the center gets waved out of the circle, one of the wingers comes in.
Yeah. If he gets waved out, it's a penalty?
Delay of game.
I don't know if I mind that, but it's a little strange.
It never happens.
Yeah.
Give them the benefit of the doubt.
Exactly. I had never heard of it.
You get your feet in whatever the stirrups or whatever those little marks are, and you just drop it.
Well, there's this other weird new penalty that we're talking about where you can't fall on the puck on a face-off. But then I think I heard, correct me if I'm wrong, was it later clarified that you're not allowed to do the hand pass off the face-off?
Yeah, so I think in the same way, any type of hand pass isn't allowed anymore.
I kid you not, the start of the third or second period, I think it was the third period, they started it at the Tampa Bay game.
The Cavalier, right?
The Cavalier hand passed it back to the defenseman. They didn't call it. And the first thing I said is like, that's a penalty.
Yeah, it looked like he was going to do it. He dropped his knee and then scooched it back with his stick, but I thought he was going to hand pass.
I thought he did use his hand.
No, I looked for that because I was wondering the same thing. But even at that, that call is
it's weird.
It's part of the game. It's a strategic play. I understand. You blow down the play for a hand pass in the forward zone. But that's just playing defense. Like, Anton Volchenkov will never be able to get ice time again. Or in the same way that, in the Hasek-type play, when he would grab the puck with his blocker hand and toss it into the corner for his D to pick it up, would that be a penalty?
I don't know. Apparently, you're not allowed to hit anybody if they have the puck because it's interfering.
I was going to say, well, if he can't grab the puck and throw it, then he can't catch it in his trapper then either, because that's closing his hand on the puck.
Yep.
It's going to get a little crazy.
Maybe the rules are slowly over time making their way so that the game is just one big long shootout.
Oh, good Lord. I hope not.
The one that really bugs me, though, is the instigating with the visor.
Yeah. That's new this year, is it not? The instigator with a visor?
Call that the Don Cherry rule or what?
Well, apparently if you're the instigator and you wear a visor, it's an extra 2 minutes. Now, is it an instigator and an additional 2 minutes? So that's 5-2-2?
No, yes.
Because the instigator's two.
Hey, if you're going to instigate a fight, you better be willing to take a punch in the eye.
Well, the thing is, what they said also in that rule is if you have a visor and you're going to go and instigate a fight, you're to drop your helmet.
Well, then make the rule about the helmet, not the visor. Isn't that what they did in junior?
You can't take a visor off a helmet. You have to take the helmet off the head.
Okay. Yeah, the junior rule is you can't take your helmet off.
Exactly.
Okay.
The OHL rule is as soon as your helmet comes off, the fight has to end. Absolutely. Which is weird to watch two guys fighting with helmets on, but that's the way the rule is.
By the way, I know we're thinking backwards here, but do you remember that fight in the Sens at Bolts game at Chris Neal against whoever that poor sap was on the Bolts team? Like they're both arms are tied up, but I thought Chris Neal just got every punch possible in on the guy right to the back of the head, of course. But
yeah,
that was Crombean, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's a tough guy too, but. Yeah, that was not a great fight.
Anyway, sorry.
But, because Ladislav Smee got called on that one. So someone did a jerk move on another one of the players. Smee came up to defend him. Because he has a visor on, he got that extra two.
So
if he would have taken his helmet off and then instigated, that would have been better.
So you see your star player taking some abuse, and you're like, hold on a sec, I just got to take my helmet off here so I can go stick up for him. Hold on. I just got to get the chin strap. Okay.
Well, these guys, they don't take long to get that off, but you can go there if you want. But now This was going back a couple years ago where it was that rec league guy that he fell on his head because of a fight and they took their helmets off and he ended up dying.
But what about something like, I guess it'd be about 4 or 5 years ago now when Tucker took a run at Fisher. Fisher wore a visor. Tucker didn't. Took a run at him and they went at it. But, you know, I guess technically Fisher wouldn't have been the instigator, but he's still wearing a visor. So as long as, okay, fair enough. I just answered my own question. But I just find this a very, very strange rule.
Yep.
Of all the things they're coming out with, and why not the hybrid icing?
Yeah.
Some blatantly thing that's have a lot of momentum already. It's been talked about for years, and no, this comes out of nowhere.
And in my opinion, having touch icing is more of a risk for players to get hurt. Obvious.
Well, that game against Florida, they kept icing it and icing it and icing it. And like, oh, wow, this is so exciting.
The player has to go back and touch it. When if they were just to call it automatic icing, the game would start faster.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do in the OHL. It's okay, let's go. And the game, the restart is faster than having to watch the puck go down and have to go skate all the way down and touch it. Just waste time.
Yeah, like, I don't get it. So that one's tending to get players hurt more. And removing your helmet to get into a fight can also lead to injuries and possibly even death.
Yeah, that's a very strange one.
It's going ass backwards.
Well, maybe it's a protection rule for someone like Patrick Coletta. Because he wears a visor. And I mean, he's probably the biggest weasel in the game at the moment. I've been watching him since he was playing for Peterborough. And I hated him when he was in the OHL because he's always been a weasel. He cheap shots people, but he will not scrap unless it's, Patrick Eves. Something ridiculous like that. But other than that, he won't. And he wears a visor, so somebody who wears a visor can't instigate with him because then they'll get an extra 2 minutes, well, 4 minutes on top of the five. But he just won't scrap with them anyway. I just find that rule very, very strange.
Well, the crowd in Binghamton, our farm team, they've got it all figured out, and they have a little song they sing for the referees there. Hey, ref, you suck.
That could catch on. I'd go for that. Well, I'll have to think about that one. Maybe I have to talk to Sen's DJ about playing that when there's some controversy on the rink and get the RSU to start working on that one.
Hey, have they done Gungam style in the arena yet? We've only had one game, I know. But
The 67s game, they played it twice.
Oh, yeah.
They did it at the Bolts game, and everybody was on their feet dancing.
Oh, my God. Oh, well. Hey.
Hey, your kid liked it at the open practice, so.
Yep.
It'll take it a few years before it's as annoying as Cotton Eye Joe, so I'll put up with it at least for now. Now, just the other night, changing gears a little bit, just the other night was the goal with 4.5 seconds left in the game by Nail Yakupov after the one was waved off with about 90 seconds left. And, he scores with 4.5 seconds left in the game to tie it, and it went into overtime, and that's when he took off down the ice and started sliding down it on his knees. Big celebration. There was a bit of, there was a lot of talk, actually, about whether he overdid the celebration on that or not.
How dare he? I mean, what is he, like 18? I mean, it's a goal with 4.5 seconds left to go in the game to tie it up. How dare he have any emotion?
Is the NHL becoming the NFL? The no fun league. You're not allowed to celebrate things. You can get a penalty for it.
I think he went over the top.
He might have, but it's not like he's done it 15 times. He did it once.
Hey, I know when I scored my first goal on the ice, and I'm a terrible skater. I didn't even mean to. I threw my hands up in the air, and I think my glove came off, not even expecting it. So I did the whole team of Solani, take a few shots at the glove. So I had to somehow look like I planned that, but I don't know.
I mean, did he overdo it a little bit? Maybe, yeah. But I'll give him a mulligan on this because it's not like he's done it 15 times. He's done it once. He's a kid.
Crowd
it was a it. Really important goal. The crowd loved it. I didn't really hear anything about the opposing team's players going, okay, he overdid that. It was all the media. Yeah, and I just went, okay, whatever. Next.
We're looking for stories. I don't know.
I want to say it's Patrick Steffen. It wasn't Patrick Steffen. What was the guy's name from the Rangers last year that did the shotgun?
Not recalling that one, I'm afraid.
I remember Ovechkin with
the
hot stick.
He went to Columbus in the Nash trade. That's the other one, Ovechkin with the hot stick.
The thing is with Ovechkin, he's a goal scorer. Like, so, you know, to him to do a celebration all the time. But for someone like Jakob, that was his first goal, right?
No, it was his second.
I think it was his second, actually. But it was just a really important one. So
yeah, I don't know.
I'm okay with it. If he starts doing it a lot, then yeah, it'll get out of hand. It'll get old pretty quickly.
Exactly.
But, you know, if he's young and that's a really important goal, I'm okay with it. I think it's somebody's making much ado about nothing.
Scott Hartnell does the whole Hulk Hogan ear thing, and you know, it's just brilliant. And then he does this, and it's low class. I don't know. Like, grow up, people.
Find something more important to talk about, please. Please. Now, we have some details to wrap up on a couple of contests. Not one, but two. Pan, you want to do the first? You want to go first? Which you've got the big one that we had going.
That's what she said.
I set it up for you. I set it up for you. Thank you for taking a shot at it.
That's what she said. Man, you're bad at that. Okay. So we had the contest for your to counter our most disappointing Sens moment with your favorite Sens moment. The winner of that was at Gervs00. So we've been in communication. I've sent him off the Heritage jersey that he asked for. So congratulations to him. Gervs00. Anyways, and I can't remember what his entry was. It got buried.
Oh, dear. I believe it was the being at the game and the whole TV timeout.
Yes, that was it.
Oh, geez. What was his game? Four?
Four.
Of last year's playoffs, like home game two against the Rangers, and the entire TV timeout crowd was on their feet after the first goal.
Yeah, really pumping the team up. There were some really good entries. There were some really fun things that make you stop and think, oh, yeah, I'd totally forgotten about that. So yeah.
Hard to pick a winner.
I really liked was the ragdoll incident of 2004.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Hard to pick a winner and all those. And in case you're wondering how we do this, we independently kind of, you know, rank a bunch of them. And inevitably, we're all over the place. And once we find an intersection, I mean, that's pretty much the winner there.
Exactly. And Canuck, there was another contest which you started while you were down in Florida.
Yes, and the idea being is kind of a shameless promo to get us see how many followers we could get ourselves up to 500. And I think we broke the 500 mark, did we not?
We did.
503 or so?
503. Oh, we lost one.
Oh, geez. Oh. And the idea being is out of the first 500 followers, we would randomly, I did my geeky thing and used the random number generator on the internet. And since we did reach 500, the winner would get an NHL prize. Sorry, guys, this is pretty small budget podcast here, but congratulations to Black Diamond Cat Trees. Well, this is an interesting one. Makers of quality handmade cat trees and scratching post in Ottawa area. So thank you for being local. Congratulations, Black Diamond Cat Trees. You are the winner of, drumroll, I don't know if you hear that, it is an official NHL license, Thunderbug. That's right, Thunderbug is the official mascot of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Congratulations, Black Diamond Cat Trees.
I'll have to be in touch with them about getting the address to send it out to them. Maybe we'll have them on in a future podcast so we can hear about their reaction when they get the package.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
Yeah. I'm a little bit disappointed that we didn't get my stretch goal there of the 750 followers.
I'm very thankful for that.
Actually, yeah. I think we actually lost a couple because of that. But
I think you both should be very thankful for that.
I'm very thankful. And maybe you should explain what we're laughing about.
Yeah, it's like my phone absolutely exploded. I think it was even at work at the time when Canuck put that up for the 500 followers. So I just end up throwing out, like, get us up to 750 and Cardinal will podcast in the nude.
Thank goodness. Note,
yeah.
That's why I'm saying you both should be very happy that we didn't make it to 750.
Stop hanging the other person out to dry. Jeez. in terms of thank yous here, want to thank Guillaume Latendresse for his little shout out here at the beginning of the podcast.
Absolutely. It's fun to meet him actually the other day. Quite a pleasant young man. Quite the gentleman. Got a week ahead stuff, I guess. Oh, anybody else? We have a couple of games coming up. There's tomorrow's game is against the Penguins. Then we have Tuesday against the Capitals, Wednesday against the Habs, and next Friday is against the Hurricanes.
Yeah, so we'll probably record on Thursday, though.
Yeah, yeah. But so lots of games coming up. This is going to get tiring. I feel sorry for people who have full season seat packages. This is going to be a lot of games to go to in a really short period of time. Because having all these,
Yeah, that's three this week.
Yeah, and they're all home games.
Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah, three next week too. Wow.
Yeah, it's gonna be busy. But I mean, it's good for the people who work out at Scotiabank Place who haven't really been working up to now. So I don't begrudge them. That's for sure. It's just it's gonna be. It's almost like the playoffs. There's hockey. It seems like there's some sort of hockey on every single night, and it's not just one game. There's just so many of them to choose from, and I don't have. The game center or the center ice package. I'm just watching them on regular television, but there seems to be so much on all the time. It's almost difficult to keep up with what's going on with other teams and injuries and who's doing well and who's struggling and everything else.
You mentioned game center.
Yes.
A little rant here. First of all, I purchased the game center package. I was asked about it, for example, from a few viewers from Toronto. Would it be a good investment? And I like it. And it's a good deal this season. It's $50 for the year, and you can watch any game. But can we please move out of this 10-year-old archaic view on broadcasting where, I go to watch a game, like, say, here in Ottawa, more importantly, when I was down in Florida trying to watch a game, it's like, well, you can't watch this. You're in a blackout area because it's being shown on local TV. Oh, okay. Where is it? Oh, it's on Fox, Florida. I go to Fox, Florida. I'm in Orlando area, and they're showing a friggin' basketball game because down at maybe Sunrise or something, they're showing the real game. But why? I'm paying for a product. Like, don't they understand that people are willing to pay for a product and watch it online? We don't need to go to the televisions anymore. Like, Apple figured this out with the whole iTunes thing. And it's a 10-year-old philosophy on broadcasting. And we're willing to pay money to watch it. We'll watch your commercials. Like, I understand you're making your money for the commercials. We'll watch those commercials on NHL Game Center. Like, just let us watch a frigging game. I don't know.
And instead, what's your option?
My option?
Yep.
Well, either you go to the Bandit feeds or have the software that changes my external IP address to be some other location and then I watch the game. Like,
crazy.
Fail. Okay, I'll switch my VPN connection so that I'm coming from New York and I'll watch the game. So, or Belgium or whatever, right? So it's so stupid.
Yeah, archaic rules which are easily circumvented, but why make me do the work? I'm already paying you $50. Give me what I want.
Yeah.
Pathetic, really.
But it is great to be able to watch games on your mobile device. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I had a buddy demonstrate it on. He was just showing me an example of it. He was showing me the recap from the Bolts game last night on his phone over breakfast this morning. And he said he can have it up to 5 devices. So he said, I can watch it on my phone. I can watch it on my tablet. I can watch it on my computer. My media center. He loves it. He thinks it's a great system.
It's pretty slick. It is.
Yeah. Because that way, if he's traveling, he's still got it with him.
It's just the blackout rules are a little bit silly.
A little bit. All right. Anything else? We've done the week ahead. I think we should get out of here while before this gets too long. Pan, did you have anything else? Did you have anything you needed to rant about? That was a pretty good one from Canuck there. You should outdo him.
I can talk about the lady that thinks that I stole $5,000.
If that would make you feel better. We'll save that one for another time, I think.
Okay.
But it sounds like a good story. I don't know the story yet, so I'll have to hear this one.
We're not getting any emails.
Email
the show. No, I'm just getting emails. That's what I'll rant about. Email the show! Ivan, where have you been?
Well, there are a lot of people showing up in the forum game thread, so obviously there are people around, so just send us something. We must have said something. I must have said something tonight that somebody is shaking their head at going, that's a lousy take.
I think Turris is a unitard.
Email.
There must be something that we've said that somebody Trade wants Alfie. To respond to. Exactly. And it's way more fun than having to come up with all of this stuff ourselves, because we are a bit lazy, or at least I am. I shouldn't speak for you guys. I am. So if somebody gives us something to talk about, it's easy fodder. I'm all for it. So, I mean, it's fun to interact on Twitter and so on, but email's a bit more, longer than 140 characters. You can give me a better argument than we should trade Bishop for Runeblad.
Hey, if you want to email us in 140 characters or less, that's okay, too.
That's true. But you can also do more than that to make it sound a little better.
Podcast at sendscallups.com.
Exactly. And I mean, do follow us on Twitter. Do feel free to drop us a line there as well. That's at SensCallUps. And please visit the forums, sensunderground.com. The game threads have been a lot of fun so far, but there's also other conversations going on. It's not just game threads. And yet again, I'll put a plea out there. If anybody's looking to do a podcast, please step up. Treaders is looking for more content for the Sens Underground Network, so if you want to talk about the NHL or the OHL, the AHL,
or bacon.
Western, bacon, anything, please step up. It's it's not as hard as you think it is because, well, I'm here. And these two are putting up with me, so you can probably find somebody else who's not nearly as annoying to deal with as I am. So step up and do it. It's a lot of fun, too. Besides, somebody might email you. You never know. Other than that, that's all for tonight. We got more games coming up. Games are coming thick and fast, so we're going to have lots more games to talk about in the days to come. Until the next episode, I'm Cardinal, and for Canuck and Pan, thanks for listening. We'll catch you soon. Good night.
Bye-bye now.
Go Sens.